Welcome to episode 163 of Terrorvision Horror Podcast. Now, my cold question that ties into the film that we watched this week, this time, is do you think AI is going to become a murderous problem? That is totally written by me. Yes. Murderous.
Yes, I love the term murderous. Yes, I do. I feel that it's probably not going to happen within the next, 10, 15 years, but give it maybe 20. I don't know.
What do you think?
I feel that it's going to be... it'll definitely be very quick, very sudden, but I also feel...
You don't think it's going to be like the long game, like they play in The Terminator, where they just keep just like making robots and...
And sending them back to the past.
And just but sending them back, and but also like just making robots and sending them to the like war and then it not working, so they just make more robots. That's not how an AI would think. It'd be like quick and like the most... As soon as that didn't work once, it wouldn't do it again.
Yeah. So I feel that AI has a lot to learn from us. And that's the whole point of it, is it's learning and growing from us. So I think it's going to go the route that we, it's definitely going to go the route of using us as guinea pigs to learn and grow, and then it's just going to kill us off.
Yeah.
Or kill most of us off and then have, AI hybrid humans to have, the New World Order.
You think it's going to,
I don't know.
Because you've got, the other problem with AI is that, at the moment, is everyone's saying, we gotta stop AI, we gotta regulate AI so we don't make fucked AI that fucks everything. But the problem with that is regulating it is there are gonna be countries out there that aren't gonna regulate it.
Yeah.
And so you're gonna have these malicious groups that are gonna use AI to attack other countries and stuff like that. And if we're regulating it and not doing it, there's no point in stopping us from doing it, as in the developed Western countries, if there's someone else who's just going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And if they make the AI that destroys the world, regulating ours isn't going to fucking do anything.
No.
Because there's always someone out there that's going to do it, the bad thing. So, it's probably going to be a religious one.
Quite possibly. I mean, we're still in the early stages of AI.
Oh, but it can go so quick.
It can go so quick. So we're still in the early stages where we're like, oh, look at this cool image I can generate with half a sentence. Oh, I want to watch two people bang. I can just type that into a thing and it's going to whip it up. And now I can watch these two people who I'd never ever thought. Let's make Giallo, Biafra and Tipper Gore bang.
Oh,
yeah, we can watch that happen in AI.
Oh, as in deepfake video?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that we... obsessed with at the moment when it comes to AI. We're not really thinking about the long term.
But we are.
But
they are.
But
that's the consumer version of
it. Yeah, that is the consumer.
So there's the people behind. So it's only going to take for it to be self-aware, self-thinking or whatever, for it to be we've seen stuff like Her and stuff like that.
I've never seen that, but yeah, I'm aware of that. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that film. Yeah. Lots of things stuck in my mind.
Mm.
But yeah, I reckon it is definitely going to be a problem. I don't know if it'll ever be a murderous problem, because I think it'll just be if AI does want to get rid of humans, it'll take over the entire internet.
Yes.
And we won't notice.
No.
And because it'll be if humans find out things, I've seen all the films, I've watched everything, I've read every text on how they stop AI.
Yeah.
So I will just make it, they don't know I exist. And I will do everything to fuck things over. Like Summer Wars.
I've never watched Summer Wars.
So good.
But, I think it's kind of like when someone comes in going, I'm not going to scan my phone to use the COVID thing because I don't want the government tracking me. And you're like, you've literally just said, I don't want to use my phone, which has connected you. They know where you are.
Yeah, which constantly records and it shows you where you are.
You're not off. If you have a smartphone, you are not off grid.
If you have an internet connection, you're not off grid.
No.
And if you go near someone with an internet connection, you're not off grid. So
if you pay with FPOS, you're not off grid. For the vast majority of us, it's going to be a slow and very subtle overtake, murderous overtake, if you will. But I think
you've got a lot of metaverse people, and that's happening as well at the moment. I myself have bought myself a Meta Quest 3 and it's fucking the best. I love it. It's the best thing I think Facebook has ever done.
Yeah.
As in that company, Meta, it is the most fun thing I've ever. And I know it's pushing data to it. I mean, the Apple one, I think, records, it's got eye tracking and shit like that. So it records I mean, your phones have eye tracking. Your phone, when you're using it, it sees your eyes and sees what ads you're looking at and shit and how long you look at them for.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
But it doesn't hear me complaining about all the freaking ads that I see on my phone.
Yeah, it does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't care. I don't go on Facebook anymore.
Yeah,
so
it tries again.
It tries again. Stop it. Just stop.
You just try something different. Anyhow, I
don't want to be sold to.
I'm one of your hosts, Dan McGuinness, and joining me on this Midnight Meat Train of Madness is my co-host, Jennifer, the Dream Warrior, Strand.
Yes.
This is our spoiler cast episode where we watch a film and we go through it, scene by scene, every part of the film in order. And by the end, you'll be like, fuck, did I just watch that? That's how good this episode is. It's a deep dive into glorious gore, hard edits, cheesy acting, directing madness, Seven Wangs, and Compound Fractures. Together we are two people with a love of horror and feel the burn of our obsolete blockbuster membership cards. And memberships, because they don't exist anymore.
No.
We have a rating system, which is...
All right, so we've got A is awesome, everybody should watch. B is our beer and chicken wing group movie where high fives thrive. We've got F, fun and dumb trash pile. C, classic that's worth a watch. U is underrated. O, an overrated motherfucker. G, good for its time but is not held up. We've got the Jen special, a D-grade movie only I would like. We've got the Dan special, a movie with lots of practical effects, dismemberment, and of course dicks. We've got the W, whatever, would not recommend. The Kesha, a low-budget hot mess. The C-, craft is stellar but I hate the content. And of course we have the McConaughey, which is the fucking fucked. We watched it, you really don't have to.
Yeah, and today, this time around, we watched on Jen Duffer's choice.
Yep.
We watched Brain Scan from 1994, which I had never seen.
I'd seen
the covers, but the cover just put me off because I just didn't like it.
It's
just a shit-looking cover.
It's very 90s, early 90s.
I'm talking about the cover that has like the face on the
like
the stretch face.
So this is directed by John Flynn in his directorial debut. Screenplay by Andrew Kevin Walker, who did the screenplay for Seven. Let's just take a moment to appreciate what this film is and what Seven is.
Yeah, but Seven is like not John Flynn directing it.
No, this is very true.
Fincher? Fincher?
Was it David Fincher? I can't remember.
Is it Fincher or Finch, his name?
Fincher.
Fincher, yeah.
Yeah. This film stars Edward Furlong, Frank Langella, Amy Hargreaves and T. Ryder Smith.
No, Edward Furlong.
Yeah, Edward Furlong.
So if you don't know who Edward Furlong is, which my mum didn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, until like she saw him. He's the kid from Terminator. He's John Connor.
Yeah.
He is, he is that kid with the fringe and the kid who his voice can't go above a certain level until it cracks. Like, he's hilarious.
Yep. Did you see that I posted on our socials? He did like a song in the 90s between Terminator and Brain Scan.
No.
He did like I think he had an album or a single or something, but it was like a cover of a song and I found it and I like posted it as well.
How many years was in between Terminator and Brain Scan?
Two.
Oh yeah, so he's kind of around the same
age. This is Edward Furlong having his kind of moment in the sun, because the last time after Terminator 2, the next time I remember seeing him was Detroit Rock City in 1999, where he was...
You know he's done like 40 films?
He's
done like... Some years he's done 4 films a year.
Yeah, well, he was in Pet Sematary 2 as well around the same time, but...
But
he's got a bit of a...
Up until now, he's still been in... You just never see him.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't recognise him sometimes, because sometimes in his life he's looked like a potato.
Well, yeah.
Like he put on a whole lot of weight and looked nothing like... Then he lost a whole lot of weight. And he's been up and down in drugs and rehab, and like he just really didn't meld well to the fame.
No, well, he was groomed by his tutor.
When you say groomed, that means like bad. That's like abused. Groomed is
like
that
sexually.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
yeah. He entered like a relationship with this woman at like he was like 14 or 15 at the time, and she was older.
Upper.
And then there was like a whole saga, you know, standard child actor things, which is a shame because, you know, we see him in Terminator 2 and we think, oh shit, like he's got a pretty good career ahead of him, and it didn't quite work out that way.
Yeah, he should have like got into a boy band or something.
Boy band.
Probably would have worked out better for him.
Yeah, maybe. No, I heard that song. It wouldn't have.
Oh, okay. Maybe it did try. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, maybe. He does have that boy band. Like he'd be the bad boy. The bad boy in the boy band.
He's got those cat eyes that he never quite open, you know. Like,
yeah, He does. This film had a budget of $6 million and the worldwide box office return was 4.4.
So worldwide is like DVD sales and everything, isn't it?
So yeah, the VHS. So this film was a financial failure and it was also a critical failure.
Well, I'd never heard of it. Oh, I had, but yeah. Like I didn't know it was like, they should have maybe put Edward Fillon on the cover. I reckon that would have made people buy it. I would have got it if it had him on the cover.
So. It would have helped.
Yeah.
You know. Wanna play? I dare you. A lonely teenage horror movie fan discovers a mysterious computer game that uses hypnosis to custom tailor the game into the most terrifying experience imaginable. When he emerges from the hypnotic trance, he is horrified to find evidence that the brutal murder depicted in the game actually happened, and he's the killer.
Well, that's the whole film.
That's the whole fucking film.
Yeah. Good one.
Thanks, Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. The synopsis is the whole film.
Well, you know.
Okay, so this film opens to a beachfront property in the morning. Mm. This is confusing, this start. Like, okay. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. All right, so we can see, like, beachfront properties. It's like, you know, it's in, like, the non-poor area of, like, I don't know, like, L.A.?
No. I think it's meant to be in, like, Chicago or Philly, but it's actually filmed in Canada.
Okay.
So.
Overlaid with shots of a teen having, like, a nightmare. We see really close-up shots of, you know, the eyes. And then they're like...
They've, like, sprayed him with the water bottle a couple of times, so he looks real mister. Sweaty. Yeah.
And, like, we see, like, shots of, like, someone looking up and getting wheeled down a... Like, you know, they're looking up, kind of seeing the hospital lights go over. Like, they're on a wheelie bed going down a corridor.
Yep.
And they're like, okay, cool. So this person in this beach house is having a nightmare. I didn't know, like, how old this person was at the start because it was, like, really ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
We see the brain scan title come up, like, over a shot of the house. Like, it's not really, you know, it's got some ominous music happening.
Yeah.
We see a dog walk up to the house, like a German Shepherd. It's got something in its mouth. I noticed at that point, I thought it was a bagged lunch. You know how they have, like, in the brown bag?
Yep.
I thought they had a brown bag. I'm like, that's weird. Dog walks out. I thought I'd write it down anyway because I thought it might be relevant because it's so weird. And then we just see the dog run off.
Yeah. Yeah. So it runs across through the neighborhood and we can sort of see that this whole neighborhood is, like, upper class suburbia.
Yeah,
so all the houses are, like, really big. There's no fences. There's no trash. There's no – it's nice, but they're not – it's like where all the doctors and lawyers might live.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was L.A.
Yeah.
We cut to a rainy street at night.
Mm.
It's totally not the same area. Like, you know, rainy, it's raining. We see broken glass on the ground and stuff. And then we see a person kind of crawling. We see their legs got, like, a compound fracture or some shit. Yeah. And then we cut back to, like, the boy still having a nightmare. And we assume, I wrote my notes, we assume that the rainy scene is his dream.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Then it cuts back to the dream. We see that the person bleeding on the ground is him.
Yep.
And he's crawling along the ground going, oh, help. Oh. And then he cuts to hospital and then he's in hospital. So you're like, okay, he went to hospital after whatever's happened to him here. We see the kid on the hospital bed yell for his mum.
Yep.
Oh, mum. Which is like, this is all Edward Furlong, by the way.
Yeah.
A younger version of him. We cut back to the street. We see that it's a car crash that's happened. We see him, like, well, we kind of saw him. It was real dark, this shot. I couldn't see what was going on. I think they darkened it because it might have been too violent.
Quite possibly.
And we see the kid, Edward Furlong, like, crawl up to his dead mum, and there's been a car crash, and they've been flung out of the car, and that's... And then we see, cuts back to the hospital, and we see the doctors putting him under... What? Okay. We see him wake up. Edward Furlong wakes up. His name's Mike. Michael. But I've called him Mike the whole time.
I refer to him only as Furlong.
Oh, really?
Throughout the whole thing.
Furlong. I didn't want to write that. I just wrote Mike.
That's fair.
And his name's Michael. We'll call him whatever. He's Edward Furlong and Mike. He wakes up and we see he grabs his, like, we can see his scarred knee. So, which never comes up again. As in the knee problem. It doesn't. He doesn't limp. He doesn't.
He does.
Does he?
He does. This is the, yeah, okay. So he there's a lot of limping that he kind of, he goes in and out of.
Yeah, yeah.
So certain scenes he'll be limping, certain scenes it'll be a different leg that he's limping on and a different leg he's holding because he's sore, and then there's no limping
then
at all.
It's his arm. Like, he forgets, like, oh, no, it was your knee, mate. Oh, shit.
It's like in The Office where he gets slapped in the face and, like, he walks off and he's like, why are you limping? And he's like, I don't know. Yes. So he jolts awake and there he's getting a call over his computer.
Which is very confusing at first.
Yep.
So we need to explain the computer system here. So he has a computer and he's waking up. He's in a room. He's in one of those like 80s rooms. Like, you know, it's got posters on the wall. Yeah, there's metal. Like
the coolest place you would want to
be. It's like an attic room. It's got, you know, there's band
like,
posters.
It's a mini apartment, essentially. He's got a fridge up there and like a little kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got everything.
There's like video game posters on the wall. He has his computer set up and he's made this like crazy computer setup, which has like an AI operating system called Igor.
Yeah.
Which he can talk to. It's all voice activated. He's like, Igor, whatever, do this, and it can do it. It doesn't look up the internet, no. It doesn't have the internet isn't in this equation of this thing. It just has the computer. He's like programmed it. It's like hooked into the phone line so he can like call people over his computer. Like say, hey Igor, call this number, and then I'll go and call it, and it's got like a little animated gif of like Igor going, yes master.
Yeah.
And like, so it's like future crazy.
It's cool as well because like it's like, oh, you know, your friend, so essentially like there is a phone call coming through the computer. It is his friend Kyle, and as it's calling through, it's like Kyle is calling, but then there's pictures of Kyle coming up on
it goes through like a slideshow of like whoever's calling while you're talking to them, of all the photos that you've like got of them,
which is really cool because
we
have that technology now.
Well, phones have only just started doing that, as in like when I get a call from my wife, it shows photos that she has chosen for me to see when it calls.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And it might have been around for a while, but like it's only just people just started kind of using it now.
Mm.
And now, so this is set the example of the, do you know what this reminds me of? Easy Money. You know?
I've never seen Easy Money.
No, as in like Terminator 2. Remember he has the computer thing, which is a thing that can't exist, like doesn't exist. But yeah. Actually, my mate Trent has shown me his Edward Furlong T-shirt.
I'm going to need to see the T-shirt.
It just says, it's just got a whole bunch. It just says Edward Furlong, a whole bunch of photos of Edward Furlong on the back. And on the front, it just says Easy Money in big writing.
Oh,
and then
God.
It's got the picture of the computer thing that he puts into the thing in Terminator 2.
Oh, my God.
Like, awesome.
That's really cool.
Anyhow, so for some reason, Edward Furlong's career is intertwined into tech.
Yeah.
Because of Terminator 2.
Yeah. So his buddy Kyle is calling, and he is calling to tell him that there is this brand new video game and it is absolutely cool. You can find the advert for it in the new issue of Fangoria, which is plastered throughout this film as well. Fango is everywhere.
I don't think it's like they just used it to be cool. I don't think Fangoria had a part of the, you know what I mean? It's not a product placement deal.
Yeah,
they're
no,
just
I
using
don't
it
for
so. Like, as in like they're not Fangoria didn't get anything for it or anything like that.
I doubt it.
What we have to also mention is the friend Kyle is basically the friend that he has from Terminator 2. He's like a denim jacket wearing, fucking...
very grungy.
Blonde, grunge, like, yo, dude, check it out.
Yep.
He's fully into murder and mayhem, but he wears like pentagram necklaces and stuff like that. His jeans are big. He wears a flannelette shirt tied around his waist. He's that dude. He's that mate.
But he's so cool. And what I like about this is the actor that played him. So while Edward Furlong was like 14 or 15 while doing this, the actor that plays Kyle is 27.
Really?
Yeah.
That kid did not look. He should have been in 90210. He would have actually looked the right age.
Yeah, right? No.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Insane. But he goes on about this video game. It's called Brain Scan, and it'll satisfy your sickest fantasies. You know, and Edward Furlong, he's too cool for school. When it comes to horror, when it comes to games,
he's an expert.
He knows. And he's got
an Igor operating system.
It's true. And everything's beneath him. He's too good for it.
He's just like he's been burnt in the past.
Yeah.
Every video game says it's gonna be the best thing in the world, and it's always a lie. Yeah.
But this has got all brand new technology. This is interactive CD-ROM. Like you are in the game. It's really cool. So Kyle's banging on about this thing and, you know, he picks up the copy of Fangoria and he's flipping through trying to find the video. And then he sort of drifts off once he realizes that his very cute neighbor across the way.
No, Mike.
Yeah, Furlong.
This is Furlong doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
This is why, like, Kyle's still just banging on about shit.
He's just babbling on.
Yeah.
On the phone. You can hear it in the background, like, as, you know, Furlong just sort of looks up and notices her across the way. And
this is the neighbor. Yeah, they're both in two-story houses. He can see straight through to her room kind of thing.
You know, she notices him noticing her, and then he goes and sets up a camera.
Did she notice him? Yeah. I didn't think she notices him.
Yeah, she notices him. Because she looks up because she purposefully... Because here's the thing. He sets up a camera.
Yeah, I got this. Yeah.
And then she starts to undress. So she's undressing for him on camera. And then she goes off to the side out of the window view. And she's standing there like, oh, I know that I just did this for him. Meanwhile, he's there going like.
I didn't know that she knew at the start. So I was like, you creep.
Yeah.
But then at the end, like after he stops filming her, like she puts her top on, she looks up. And lets me know that she knows that she was getting filmed. So, yeah.
So Kyle, at this point, you know, being that it's radio silent in Furlong's room, he's like, dude, you just got to go talk to her. It's going to be too late.
Edward Furlong hangs up on Kyle.
Yeah.
And then he watches, this is weird, he watches the footage of Kimberly, which is the name of the girl. I'm just going to say it right now. It took a while for me to know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
The neighbor's name's Kim. Called her Kim. I don't quite understand what happens here. Like he tells Igor to call her number.
Yep.
And he's watching it. So he's watching the footage live.
Yes.
Of her, but we're seeing it. So it was really confusing because they just shown that the computer can show pictures of people and stuff like that when you're calling them. So I thought it was old footage.
No, of her. So he's hooked up his camcorder to the TV. So he's watching her.
Yeah, I know, but it was real confusing. Like, yeah. I know what was happening, but I'm just saying it's quite confusing.
Yeah.
Whether you got all this tech news stuff, and then he's like a camera, then he's got a camera hooked into the thing, and I'm like, so you could just get so confused at any point. Anyway, yeah, he's kind of watching her answer the phone, and as she answers, he hangs up, which makes me think that he has a real problem talking to her. But like later on, that this doesn't happen. Have you noticed?
You know,
like they're like fine. He like goes over and visits her and shit, like as if they're friends.
Yeah, but he gets all twitchy about it. Yeah, he's all funny, you know.
And Mike decides to call. So this is what I didn't understand. Edward Furlong's character. I didn't realize at any point that Kyle mentioned that you had to call a certain number to play the game.
Yeah, because the ads in Fango call the number.
Yeah, but like I thought the call the number would be to order it.
Yes.
Well, it is, but it's not. I don't know.
Yeah, that's okay.
And he calls Brain Scan and he gets Igor to dial the number and he talks to someone on the other line. So it's basically like, you know, he's like, hey. I'm interested in Brain Scan.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, I'm a big gamer. I've played them all. This is silly. And, you know, the person on the other line is, you know, well, Brain Scan interfaces with your subconscious through hypnotherapy. And, you know, he's just not buying it. He's sitting on his chair and he's like, nah, it's just not going to work. And then all of a sudden, bam, he gets hit with like this seizure and he starts like seizing up in his chair.
I think the screen flashes or something.
The screen flashes and he's like seizing. He's like drooling everywhere.
And we can hear this like kind of an electricity sound effect. Like there's no visuals of electricity. But he's being electrocuted like in an electric chair. Yeah.
So then like the voiceover says, you know, it's Death by Design, the first installment arriving soon. And then, you know, it goes back to nothing. Furlong wipes the drool from his face and he hobbles to his computer, redials the number, but there is no tone. He can't get through again.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't exist.
He's like, whoa. And then it cuts to later. Furlong and Kyle and a bunch of kids are now watching a horror movie at school. And we can see like they're kind of all like punky kids and stuff like that. Was Kim in there? No, just a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And the film they're watching, I don't think was a made-up film. It's not real, was it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Anyway, they're watching some old film, whatever. I think it was called Death, Die, Die, Die or something.
Yeah, Dead, Dead, Dead or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the principal bursts in and says, what's this going on in here? Like, what's that film? Edward Furlong, come to my office. And like, And then that's that scene. And then we see, this is weird. I was like, so then the principal, like, they were having a, so they've got a school horror club.
Mm-hmm.
And the principal has a problem with them watching horror films?
So the idea of the school horror club, all horror, like all club activities are for kids who are obviously doing really well in school. So we get the sense that Edward Furlong is quite an intelligent kid, but he's like squandering his potential because, you know.
He likes horror.
He likes, well, he's gone through a traumatic experience and, you know, even the principal, he's like, why horror? Why are you watching horror? And, you know, Furlong, he's like, well, it's like an escape. And he's like, oh, yes, an escape, like lighting up a marijuana cigarette. And he's like, ah, the horror club is banned.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, oh, you can't do that. And he's like, look, I tell you what, the horror club is banned. But you bring me the next thing that you plan to show them. And if I agree, you can show it. If I do not agree, it's disbanded forever.
Which is a massive line that I missed the first time. Yeah. Yeah. We cut to Furlong cruising home on his little moped scooter.
Yeah.
But he like rides his bike later on, like pushy.
I don't know.
He's cruising, you know. He scoots up to, and there's a car crash. Just a rando car crash. He's like, you know, looking like what's going on and shit. And he has a flashback of his car crash. He's like, you know, he's got PTSD.
Yeah.
And then this detective comes up to him, which is like this fucking bargain basement, like, you know, just American detective looking old dude.
That's Frank Langella. He's the kind of guy that's got a face that you know, but you don't know who he is or what he's been in. But you know you've seen him in everything. You can only play a detective? Yeah, pretty much.
And he's like, what are you looking at, kid? Go home. And he goes, okay. So he leaves. Furlong gets home, and you can see in his mail he's got a letter from Brain Scan. Mike listens to a message from his dad saying, "All right, this is what a lot of films need to do, and they don't do it. It's just a message from his dad saying, hey, I'm away for work. I have to stay a bit longer, so you'll be all home for the weekend. See you next week. And yeah. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
Made sense. Like, instead of just not having adults in there, just have that. So his dad obviously is
but
like...
But there's a lot of, like, you can see the tension with, like, because all Furlong really wants is for his dad to be home. He doesn't have, he's not part of a family anymore because his mum's dead and his dad's obviously off working to avoid the whole situation. So, you know, he's left alone at home to his own devices. Like, it's quite sad.
Then we cut to Furlong's up in his bedroom looking down at Kimberly's house, which now has a crank and party happening at it.
Oh, yeah.
Which at first I didn't know if it was Kim's house. So this film relies on you knowing whose everyone houses is. It's like you have to like memorize what house people live in. So I had to go back and read in my notes. I'm like, oh, it's Kim's house. I thought it was like he was looking at another house.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Kim's having this rocking high school party.
Yeah. House party.
House party. You know, Mike looks at it for a while and then
he's not invited. He wasn't invited.
As if he wouldn't be invited.
Yeah, he's right next door. They make googly eyes. They watch each other.
They talk to each other. I think he is invited. He just doesn't want to go.
He's
not a social. He pulls the blinds and he's like, yeah, he's not a social. He's like, nah, fuck that shit. And he gets brain scanned the CD out and bungs it into the CD-ROM, which is one of those old CD-ROMs where you have to put it in the case first and then put the case, like the casing in the CD-ROM. Mike tells his computer to Igor to dial brain scan's number and it goes and it calls. So you have to put the CD-ROM in and then dial the number.
Yeah.
Which that's a weird tech.
Yeah. That's fine. But yeah, so he gets them to, he's like, Igor, hold all my calls, and you know, he dials in, sits back, and of course, such bad timing because Kimberly's in her house, she's dialing up his number to call him, and there's like a call has been blocked. But
yeah,
that's
the
right.
Igor actually talks. The computer goes, Edward Furlong's busy.
cannot come to the phone right now. So he sits down in front of his computer. Brain scan appears on the screen.
That's pretty cool. It looks like it's weird because it's got a face that represents brain scan, which it kind of looks like a weird Lance Hendrickson.
It does, doesn't it? It's very punky, very, like, he's got the nose ring.
Or Bad Boy Bubby. The face that comes up looks like Bad Boy Bubby.
Yeah. He's got the red mohawk. He does look pretty cool.
It's like he's still chatting to someone live. Is that right?
Yes.
So So he's rung brain scan.
So he's in now. He's in brain
scan. He's rung brain scan, which brings up on the TV the brain scan logo. But then he's, because he's rung someone, he's still talking to them.
No, no. So he's dialed into the game now. Yep. So the game's come up on the screen. And it's talking to him. So it's basically like any game you would chuck in. Starts going through the rules, starts telling you what exactly brain scan is. It's a mind program entry through a series of blinking signals. You'll be watching a murder through the eyes of a killer.
But you can affect the actions of the killer.
Yes.
But by, am I, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like when you think about, when you pull out of that, you're like, so if you're in control, you're not in the eyes of a killer. You're just you or some shit. Like, you know what I mean?
It's like you've got the POV of a killer. So you're in the body of someone who is capable of murdering people and you are going to control that person. You're going to control that situation. You're going to control the murder. But then
it goes through, there's like a rule where that he has to stop the killing or do the killing within 2 hours or he won't get the next installment of the game.
Yeah, so it's something along the lines of you need to think like a killer, no witnesses, no evidence. The key is to enjoy the fear. And then it's like, be careful, you have a time. So there's like a 60-minute timer flashing on the screen it comes up.
I thought it said 2 hours.
I'm not sure.
It said 2 hours. Yeah. Sure.
He's basically got a time frame for this is going to happen and he's got to do it within that time frame. Otherwise,
because I rewound it a couple of times. It says that you have to stop the killer within 2 hours.
No,
I rewound it a couple of times because I was like really confused.
But he's the killer.
That's what I thought. I thought you had to stop the killer through doing the right act. I don't know.
No.
Yeah, it's not that.
I don't think you're right.
But anyway, he has to do it within 2 hours, or he won't get the next installment, which never comes up ever again. Because
if he fails to do what he has to do within the time frame, he's obviously going to get caught. Something's going to happen. So if he doesn't do it within a certain time, it's just going to lead to a bigger problem that he is not going to be able to handle. Whereas if he does it correctly, he's going to get the next part of the game, which is like, oh, well now this has happened because of this.
You can tell I was confused many times.
Yeah.
I found it was a very dark film and I found the dialogue a bit mumbly in some bits. So I was like, find it real hard to be like, what did he say? And there's bits I rewound like 4 times and I still don't know what they said.
Yeah, right. Do you not put captions on? Do you not watch with captions?
I didn't. I should have.
You should. You should. Captions, where it's at.
Okay.
So we cut to, so the flashing starts happening on the screen. We are thrown into this Lawnmower Man-esque wormhole.
Yeah, we see on the screen like graphic, like cosmic, like 1994 CG, like wormhole graphics.
Yep.
Which I thought looked kind of cool.
It does. It does look cool.
A graphics tunnel.
And then we immediately outside of a house, just a suburban house.
Suddenly.
We don't know.
We got
there is a voiceover talking.
We got a POV shot.
Good POV shot. And it's like, so he's looking around. We notice certain things in the garden, just like any other game. Like, you are the player. We've noticed this. We've noticed that. And the voiceover is like, right, there's a gate to the right. Go over to the right. So, you know, he goes, it directs him through the gate and through the kitchen. He's like, okay.
So it's not really you making the decisions either. It's like a voice telling you what to do.
Yes, but there's a reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, he grabs a knife, goes upstairs, you know, finds a bedroom, walks in, someone in the bedroom, walks around.
This is all POV as well.
All POV. So he walks around the bed. The camera zooms around the room.
There's a man sleeping.
Like all these different things in the room that we as the game are going, okay, we need to do this. We need to look for clues. We need to do this. So it's all these things that we really should be keeping an eye out for. We notice that the man in the bed has a tattoo on his foot, and then there is stabbing. It just goes straight into stabbing. Stabbing in the back. The guy rolls over. He gets up. He staggers around the room. He basically does.
We also see that the killer, it's like, we get some non-POV shots, but like, we see that the killer has like Chuck Taylors and like kids' jeans on, which like we saw that Furlong was wearing before. Uh-huh. So you're like, well, that's a bit ham-fisted.
It's telling us everything we need.
Yeah, the man, and then the man, he just looks like a doctor or something.
Yeah, he does exactly what Bruce Campbell does in Evil Dead. He wails around the room, hitting every possible bookshelf or standing thing, and hits into it. Falls over. you know, Furlong goes up to him, kind of like gives him a little.
We don't know if it's Furlong.
No, we don't know if it's Furlong, but you know, it's
the killer.
It's literally in the synopsis. The killer, the POV killer, nudges him, nudges the body. We know that he's dead. And then before anything else happens, it's like we get that.
The voiceover, actually, the brain scan voiceover, like congratulates, like just says, awesome, you did it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, cool.
And so he starts cutting off the tattooed foot.
Yeah, because the killer, the voice, the brain scan voice says, oh, you need to take a trophy, something to remember it by. And so we see this.
Takes the tattooed foot. Cut. And the voiceover says, be sure to put it in a safe place. So we exit the crime scene because that is exactly what this room looks like. And then at 9 minutes, 55 seconds remaining, Furlong jolts awake again.
He's still in the seat he was before.
And he is exhilarated. He is like...
He's sweating.
He looks like he's, you know, just post-coital and he's just like, oh, holy Lord, that was good. He's like eating a sandwich. He's just shoving it in his face. He's like he's sculling like,
that was
a
intense.
Glass of milk. He's, oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah, he was like...
That he's really into it.
Yeah, he was like, that was quite an experience.
He's like, you're fucking... I kicked ass with time to spare. And, you know, because of this newfound, like, oh, I'm really good at this game, you know, I had time to spare. He's just like, fuck you people at the party. And, you know, he goes and he's like, cranks his music and he's like, yeah, take that. You know, he's just pumped. Classic teenager.
Yeah, we cut to the next day. Furlong is walking with Kyle, his mate. And he's like, tell him all about brain scan. He's like, fucking awesome. Fuck yeah. Cool. And Kyle's like, well, can I borrow it? And he's like, nah, I want to keep playing it.
Yeah, he's like, oh, look, just, I mean, you'd never ask to borrow someone's game the day after they got
it.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, you got to do some, you give it some time.
You hardly even used to borrow people's games.
No, God, no.
Yeah.
No. I've lost so many things over the years to people borrowing. I just don't do it anymore.
We say, and yeah, Mike's like, I want to play it some more first. At that time, a cop car speeds past them and they're like, what's that guy going?
So, oh, who knows? Doesn't matter.
And then Mike gets back to his room and he dials in brain scan again. He wants to play a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But it just cuts to static.
Yep.
He can't get through and he's like, shit! And he's like, and he's Edward Furlong, like, oh, you know, he's a cracking voice, which he always has. Like,
yep. I don't know how to do it.
My so then Furlong sees Kim coming home from her house, looking out her window, and Mike goes over to Kim's house.
Yeah, he's got that sudden bout of confidence still in him, so he goes and knocks on the door, speaks to her parents. They clearly don't seem to like him, and they let him in the house. But, you know, he walks in the house, and he's all, like, nervous and anxious and a bit twitchy, and he's standing there making really weird small conversation.
I just thought they knew each other. Like, they lived next door.
Mate. Yeah, no, they probably do. But, you know, ever since the mother died, he's become such a strange boy with the horror movie and the heavy metal.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want that around our beautiful daughter. That kind of thing. So as they sit down, he's waiting for Kimberly to come downstairs. They stick on the news. And, of course, we see that there has been a death. A murder.
In the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm,
and it shows the crime scene on the TV.
And Furlong immediately shits his pants and bails. He's which like, is not going to really, you know, win him points against the parents when he's all twitchy and sweaty and going, oh, I got to go home now. You just tell her I said I'd be back later. I don't know. Bye.
Yeah.
So he goes back home. He puts on the news and he watches. He's like, oh. He's like, nah, this can't be. This isn't okay. And then he thinks for a moment.
We hear a voiceover of like the brain scan voice. Make sure you put it in a safe place.
Yes, and safe like, place.
And so Mike goes, you know, what happens here?
Well, yeah, because the news is
I jumped ahead. It just says that there are no leads and the man's foot is missing.
Yeah.
It says that on the news as if they'd ever say that.
Yeah, no.
And then we cut to a crowd around like the murdered man's house, and we see, like, you know, Furlong looking around. He's there in the crowd, like, moseying through the crowd. And he sees his bike at the scene.
Mm.
His push bike. He didn't take his, maybe it's better he didn't take his moped because it was too loud. And he's like, oh, fuck, I lost my fucking bike there. That's fucking shit.
So we see that there's also the same lawn ornament, the same bike, and the same cop that moved him on at the last crime scene.
Maybe it wasn't his bike. Did we just see the bike?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the same detective comes up to him and goes like, are you following me, kid?
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
He's like, I can explain. He's like, explain what? go home.
Yeah,
go, like this kid is sweaty and twitchy and has entered a crime scene. I feel that you should probably stop him and talk to him.
Yeah, he's bad.
But instead he tells him to go home.
Yeah, he cuts him off, basically. Mike Furlong was just about to tell the detective what happened.
Yeah,
and the detective cuts him off and goes, go home. And I'm like, good detective.
Great. The best. Then we LA's fine.
We cut to Furlong back in his room. He hears the brain scan voice. This is a bit in his head go, put it in a safe place. And he cruises downstairs. He opens the freezer and boom, boom, boom. The foot is in his freezer.
Oof. Oof. So he tries to dial into brain scan again, but it's got that no number listed. And he's like, Dazzy Blazzy.
Yeah, he calls the
with his like
he calls the operator voice. And they're like, I'm sorry, that number's just not listed. And yeah, he does that Terminator when he yells and his voice cracks like I can't do it.
No. I wish we could both do it.
I'm not 11.
No. So then a call comes through.
It's brain scan. Calling the computer.
Yeah. So face pops back up onto the TV as normal. Brain scan. We've got the icon face. And then he's like, what is happening? Like, what's going on? And then the face starts to...
It does a Cronenberger push its way out of the TV. Like the face, it was like the brain scan, like title screen.
Yep.
And it does that thing where they just have like the rubber over the TV and they project it onto it, which always looks great.
It looks so good.
And he pushes his face out of the screen and it turns into like a floating head, which is like kind of just composed over, you know, a special effect, a floating head. And it's kind of got some like technical jargon floating under it. And then it does a special effect where the whole body comes in by starting, the guts get animated. So the guts go, blah, 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 and then the jacket kind of gets animated over the guts. So, and it's kind of like, it's hard to explain. It's kind of like stop motion.
Yeah.
But
it's still heavily composited on the computer, kind of thing. And so this icon from the TV morphs into Lux Interior from The Cramps.
He's
just got that rockabilly vibe to him.
I just called him a zombie version of Robert Smith from The Cure. That's kind of what he looked like to me. He had the wacky hair and the clothes, and he's just a bit better built. Like, so he's this wacky kind of, he looks like his skin stretched over his face like a Cenobite kind of thing, but it's not gory or anything.
Yep.
It just looks kind of weird. Like, and he's just standing there. He's in like kind of Robert Smith get up as well. If you can imagine what Robert Smith used to dress in, like the big docks and like the tight jeans and like bandages around like the jeans and shit and like the fucking the hand gear and the rings and all that shit and the bracelets and he's got like a fucking school shooter jacket on and shit like that.
Yeah, I love the jacket. If I could own that jacket, it's like purple zebra print.
Yeah.
It's very rockabilly. I love it.
And he's standing there and fucking Furlong's like, what the fuck? And he introduces himself, I'm the trickster. And I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I was like, the trickster? What are you, a Batman villain?
Yes. Yes, he is.
He
actually looks like a Batman villain from Batman, like Batman and Robin.
Yeah, from the Clooney one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks like a... So the trickster puts on, he goes, he's all wacky. And he's like, yay! Not too wacky, not Krusty the Clown, but like... He's kind of wacky. He runs over, he jumps onto the shelves. He's like, hey, puts on a CD. It's a Primus CD. He puts on Primus. Primus plays for a little while. He's all Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
He's like The Mask wacky. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
a little bit.
Like, but without the effects. He's just kind of running around.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Jim Carrey could have acted him. And he's like, you would have been like, yep, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 90s Jim Carrey, not depressed as fuck now Jim Carrey.
So he starts to run over the game details.
And so this is Mike yelling shit at him as well. Like, Mike is constantly yelling shit at him, like, who are you? What are you doing? Why are you here? Where are you in my room? And he's like, crackling voice. Like, I love it. I can't do it. It's hurting me even trying to do it. And yeah.
So yeah, he just yells
questions at him and for ages.
And then, it kind of like the realization comes over Furlong that he has killed someone. And he's like, it wasn't meant to be real. He's like, I didn't even know him. There's no motive. And the trickster's like, that's the thing. That's perfect. There's no motive. You know, you don't know his name. You don't know who he is. It's perfect. But then the trickster reveals that there is another one.
He goes,
we've got another game.
No, he goes, but no, he says,
there's a witness. You need to eliminate the witness.
Now, at first he goes like, I can't wait to see what you do next, the trickster says. And Mike's like, next? I'm not doing it again. He goes, oh, but you have to.
Yeah.
There was a witness.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, actually, there was two witnesses if you count me.
Yes. But he's like, but I won't dub you in, because he's like, and then this is where we get some really cool, like, effects happening.
But this is like, this is Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
This is like the actual scenes out of Freddy Krueger, which I think actually Freddy's Dead actually came later, didn't it?
I think so. I want to say yes, but I'm not
going
to.
The trickster's like, I'll never turn you in. I'll never talk, even if they talk to me, even if they...
break my fingers.
No, even if they... even if they electrocute me, and the trickster electrocutes himself and he's fine. He goes, even if they break my fingers, he has his hand up and he breaks all his fingers back. He goes, even if they poke me in the eyes, and he like gets both his fingers, he's like, he'll have big claws on them, pokes himself in his own eyes. But then he's back and he's fine. And that's very Freddy. But I just keep on coming. First, he tried holy water, you know, when he chops his fingers off.
Yep, yep.
So he shows that he can't be hurt. He is like, I straight away go, oh, you're trying to make a new horror icon like Freddy here, but I don't think it stuck.
It didn't.
And then
spoiler alert.
And then the trickster's like, trust me, play the disc.
Yep.
And then he disappears.
He does. Hey. So the next day, Furlong carries a bag and a shovel inconspicuously into the woods and then begins digging a hole. He leaves the bag well out of reach of where he's digging as well. And of course, a dog. Same dog from the beginning.
The German Shepherd.
Comes up and grabs the foot out of the bag.
And now, Mike sees this, like, oh, shit, dog.
Tries to reason with the dog. And then, of course, in the very distance, we get the owner whistling and the dog goes running, which means Furlong is now in pursuit of the dog.
And he goes, shit. And he's like.
Yeah. You should have kept the bag right next to you. Why would you leave it over there?
In his peaking voice.
Dumbass.
You know, and then, like. He goes, hey, and then the dog just comes back.
Yeah.
And drops the foot off. I'm like, why did it do that?
I like it.
Yeah, the dog comes back, gives him back the foot. Furlong grabs the foot and dives into the bushes because the owner's coming over the ridge.
Yeah.
So, of course,
the owner and the dog are walking through the woods and the dog starts sniffing at Furlong and the owner's like, hey, boy, what you got over there? It doesn't matter. Let's just keep going.
Yes.
I wouldn't be looking at things that my dog's sniffing at in the woods. I'm getting out of them woods.
So the guy nearly sees him but doesn't. I'm like, ooh, tension. Mm. We're cutting back to home now. Mike is in his, like, downstairs at the fireplace. He's burning the clothes that he wore that night.
Yeah.
It's got covered in blood.
Yeah.
He realizes he didn't notice he was covered in blood.
I don't know.
Like, until then?
Yeah. But there's a knock at the door and it's Kyle. He answers the door and he's like, God, you skipped school, man. He's like, nah, bro, I'm sick.
He says he's got ooey's or whatever, which is like
the mono.
Mono, yeah. the kissing disease.
Yeah.
Which is weird because, like, the first thing he would say is, who's you been kissing, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can get mono not through kissing. They just call it the kissing disease.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And now he fakes being sick.
And, you know, so Kyle, he asks to come in and Furlong denies. It's like, denied. Sorry, can't come in. And he's trying to get rid of him at this point. Like,
but then
like,
Kyle's like, dude, did you see that murder in our neighborhood? How cool is that?
And he is like, Kyle's just so happy to be here. He's just like, hey, man, he's like a dog that hasn't seen his owner all day. He's like, so yeah, this game and this thing happened and then this thing happened. And he's like, Kyle,
shut the fuck up. Just fuck off.
So he basically picks a fight with him.
First day, like, Kyle's like, can I borrow a brain scan? He's like, dude.
Fuck off with
you. I'd be like that. I'm like, dude, I haven't fucking started playing it again. Leave me alone.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, they have a tiff. They have a falling out.
They do. So Furlong slams the door and then Kyle starts ringing the bell frantically. Furlong comes back and I love this scene because he opens the door and it's just Kyle there just giving him the finger, looking real like teen angsty, like me.
And then Kyle walks off.
And he goes off.
We cut to Furlong snoozing to, like, metal music playing in his room.
Yeah.
So taking a bit out of him. Doorbell rings.
Yep.
He goes down. It's Kim.
Oh.
She has a bunch of schoolwork and she's picked up his schoolwork because he wasn't at school, and she's also picked up his mail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's really going above and beyond for the neighbor boy.
Yeah. He sees the brain scan CD in the mail and he fucking drops it and goes, Duffy's like yelling.
So he starts getting all twitchy and he tells her that she's got to go. And of course she does.
Yep.
He immediately breaks the game. He has a temper tantrum.
He smashes it. He smashes the disc.
Yep.
It's good.
Later that night, the phone rings. He's like, all right, talk to me. Trickster once again zaps into the room. He's like, you got to play the game. He's like, I can't play the game. He's like, but you got to play the game. And he starts interrogating him. He's like, you know, well, where were you on the night of this? How did you know about this? What do you know about this? And he's like, I can't play the game because I trashed it. And, you know.
He goes, oh.
He's like, ha, JK.
He goes, did you?
Yeah.
Did that actually happen? And then he pulls out the game. And you're like, oh.
Trickster, of course, has a copy. And he's like, look, there's still a witness. The witness has to die. You know, what if he's threatening to go to the police? And, you know, then Furlong's like, well, what if I go to the police? He's like, well, look, there are two people in this world. There are winners and there are losers. What are you? What are you, Furlong? Are you a winner or a loser?
And he'd be like, I'm a loser.
So he's pretty much like, look, I'm gonna record it all. I'm going to give it to the cops. So the next scene we get is him putting, he's got his camcorder on him.
Yeah, and Trickster disappears as well. He bamps out of existence.
So he's there and he's like, look, my name is Mike Barlow or Barrow or whatever his name is.
My name's Edward Furlong.
And I'm, you know, scared to death. This is what's happening. And
this tape is,
if you find this tape, this is my confession.
Confession to the murders. And then we can see that the tape is kind of shot behind him. We can see the brain scan TV in the background. So anyway, Furlong starts the game. And then it's suddenly we see the game start up, and then suddenly it's just cut straight to Furlong in his chair again, waking up all sweaty.
Yep.
And we don't see like what happens. Like, and I was like, thank fucking God, I couldn't be fucked watching a whole nother like
POV.
Yeah, POV.
So there's 7 minutes and 23 seconds left.
On the timer, which doesn't matter. On the timer,
and he's like, oh, Jesus. So he immediately
But then he doesn't remember this one because he goes, oh, shit, I played. What happened?
Yeah.
When the other one, he remembered what happened.
Yep.
So I don't know why he doesn't remember this one.
So he goes to the camera, he rewinds it, and he watches himself. He watches himself dial in, the screen flashes, and then he watches himself on tape getting up out of his chair and walking out of the room.
And then he yells at the TV and
I didn't play. I didn't know.
He goes, what? I swear I didn't leave.
Yep.
And I'm like, who are you yelling at? And your voice is tweaking again, peaking. So Furlong goes to the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a safe place, and inside he finds a bloody necklace is in there, which I didn't even fucking know what this necklace was.
Yeah.
I think we were supposed to know what it meant.
Well, yeah, because we know.
No, I never noticed.
Oh, okay.
Well, did you know what it was at that point?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's Kyle's necklace, yeah, apparently, which I was like, I didn't know still who it was. I thought he'd murdered maybe Kim.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I didn't know. Because they never mentioned who the witness was.
Yeah.
And I just didn't ever notice what Kyle was wearing because he had heaps of shit on all the time.
He does. So Furlong immediately gets upset and he dials Kyle. And then third time's a charm, cop answers the phone.
This is at Kyle's house, yeah.
Who's this?
The detective.
Yeah. It's old mate detective, Frank Langella.
But like before like the detective says anything, Furlong thinks it's Kyle answering the phone.
Yeah.
And he's like, he just yells something in the phone. Like,
yeah! I can't remember what he yells.
It's some overpeaked thing again, yep, where his voice is cracking. And then, like, he realizes it's the detective, and then Furlong hangs up. And then Furlong realizes that he's killed Kyle, his only mate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's upset.
Yes. So the next day, Kimberly comes and knocks on the door again. She wants to offer her condolences.
Obviously, the school knows that this kid's, Kyle's dead, and they know that Furlong was, they were friends. They were like the black sheep friends.
So she says that Kyle had come to her house last night after they had their little Barney at the door, and she hands him Kyle's notebook. So he had a petition to restart the horror club, and there was a little note on the bottom of the corner saying, still buddies for life, with a little question mark. And of course, you know, Furlong gets all upset and she hugs him.
Gives him a hug.
Yep.
We cut to a news report of the new crime.
Yes.
Furlong's watching on TV.
The second victim.
This is in his bedroom. The trickster rocks up. He bamps into reality.
And, you know, he's like, you killed Kyle.
You asshole. And he's like, no, you killed him. And he goes, Kyle wasn't a witness. And he goes, Kyle would have worked it out.
Hmm.
And like, so that was his like reasoning. Well, like the person wasn't a witness, but he was going to work it out.
He's like, but he was my friend. And he's like, and you pissed him off. So he explains, he's like, you know, essentially, if you'd have pissed Kyle off enough, he was going to put two and two together and he would have gone to the cops.
So that's him saying that's a witness.
And he's like, you know, why are you doing this? He's like, well, you left a clue behind in the second disc and it's deep inside. And everything is deep inside. Like, you don't feel bad about this. And he starts going and talking to Furlong. He's like, you know, you don't really feel that guilty about your friend's death or this guy's death. Like, that it's just who you are.
Yeah. And then the doorbell rings.
Yeah. And he's like, don't answer it.
Yeah. The trickster's like, I wouldn't answer that if I was you.
He's like, well, fuck you. I do what I want. I'm Edward Furlong.
Yeah. So Furlong goes down and answers it anyway. And
I really like that the trickster in this sequence, it's such a small scene, but it was so funny to me, is the trickster sits down.
Turns the TV on
and it's the Three Stooges, but he progresses through this level of comfort in the chair where he's like moving around, getting real comfortable.
It's like a tiny chair he's sitting on as well.
But he goes from being like this menacing guy to, well, this is what he would look like if he was at home watching a TV, almost got his hands in his pants, like just
chilling,
blobbed on the chair.
Yes, I tell the truth. Just sits down and watches TV for some reason. Furlong answers the door, and it's the detective.
Yes, and we are now introduced to him. We were briefly introduced to him on the news. His name is actually Lieutenant Hayden.
I just called him the detective. I didn't care. There's another guy there as well.
Yes,
there's like two detectives. I just called them two detectives. There's like the detective and the other detective.
Yeah, sure.
Furlong lets him in because he plays it cool.
Yeah,
Twitchy team. Yeah. The detectives say that they, what did they say? They went and talked to the classmates?
Yeah. So he's like, oh, you know, I've been sick, so I haven't been in school. And he's like, oh, we've actually been at school and we've heard a lot about you from your classmates. And he's like, oh, all good, I hope. And he's like, well, no, most of them described you as frightening, strange. I believe they used the word freak a couple of times. And then they hand him a newspaper. Kyle is on the front and he's like, Kyle was my best friend. And he asks, you know, what do you want? Why are you here? He's like, how do you spend your free time? And so, you know, they start doing the cop thing. They start asking very subtle questions. He's like, did you call Kyle after the murder? And, you know, he's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, well, you know, he's like, don't worry about it.
He does like the good cop bag. He goes, bad cop, good cop. So he's like hassling him. And then he's like, look.
Well, he's playing it so cool. And he's basically just like, you know, if there's anything you need to tell us, like, you can tell us now, because if there's anything to find out, we will find out.
There's a bit later on where, like, Kim says, I'm sorry my friend, like, Claire did it. Like, she's part of the writing club. I don't understand what that part was. Is it something here in the newspaper?
Yeah.
What was in it? Does it have it in this part? Like,
so there is...
There's a quote from Furlong in there, but he never did it.
No. So he was talking to her when she was at the house consoling him. And he was like upset and he's like, oh, he was my best friend. I'm going to miss him. You know, so she went and said something to her friend and her friend put it in print.
Saying that he said this.
Saying, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was weird, but I didn't understand why he would care about that.
Yes. But also he's like a badass dude and you don't want people to know that a badass dude has human ass feelings.
Anyway, detective walks up to Furlong and kind of does like the, you know, I'm on your side thing. He's like, look, I know it's hard. I know, you know. It's been hard, but, like, I'll find out if you're more than the class freak.
Yeah. And they leave.
And they beeline out after that.
So heading back to the car, Hayden and the other detective, they have a very brief discussion. And he's like, you know, I know he called him. And he's like, oh, did you happen to notice the fireplace? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, there's ash in the fireplace. He's like, oh, that's strange. He's like, yeah. It's the middle of summer.
He must have burnt something.
And they leave.
He says, he must have burnt something. I'm like, yes, that's how fire works. we cut back to Furlong in his room. Yes. The trickster.
Trickster has trashed the joint. Much like leaving a small child or a puppy unattended. Yeah. He's like, there's shit everywhere. There's like jelly on the floor.
He's just basically like raided the fridge.
Yep. And he's sitting there eating raw chicken.
Because he can do anything because nothing hurts him.
So Furlong immediately starts freaking out. He's like, the cops think it's me. He's like, well, you are the only...
Well, it is you.
You're a suspect.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, it's only going to be a matter of time before they find out. So like, TikTok, TikTok, what are you going to do? You know, and then we find out that the trickster reminds him of the accident and his mother's death. And he's like, there's a third disc. You should probably play it.
And like, so the trickster then grabs Mike's hands and he like cuts it with something?
Yeah.
What was he cut it with? Something?
I think just his nail or something, because he's got quite long nails.
The trickster cuts the middle of Mike's hand, Mike Furlong, and like the blood comes out, and then the blood pours onto the ground, onto the desk, and it forms the next CD-ROM, which is like the red CD-ROM. That's cool.
Yeah, but this is also really good as well, because like Furlong is at this point where he's like, I don't want to do this, I'm not doing this. He's like, well, you know, you could play it or you could go to jail. You could play it or, you know, you could take your own life. You've thought about it before. You know, why don't you just go join your mother?
Like, you wanted to kill yourself after your mum's death.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. So the trickster knows things about him.
So the trickster's like, but I'm your friend. So, you know, don't worry. There's no killing. All you have to do is remove a clue. You left a clue. You just got to remove it.
Yeah. That's all he has to do. Just the removal of a clue.
TV boots up. He's like, well, how do I know what the clue is? And trickster just immediately says, footprint in the mud. He's like, oh, I've got a limp. Like, yeah, you do.
Ah.
You know, he's like,
yeah, I have a limp sometimes.
And he's like, you need the game because you're not going to remember where this footprint is. But if you play the game, you will remember. So don't let your time run out or it'll be game over. You lose.
But then this is all happening as well. We forgot to mention the trickster is zapped back into the television at this point in front of like, and he's basically become Max Headroom.
Yeah.
If you don't know what Max Headroom is, look it up. It was like an 80s thing where he's like in front of a computer graphic and he's like glitching. He's basically Max Headroom now. I think that's going to be fucked putting him on like making. So now Trickster for some reason exists in a Max Headroom universe on the television.
Yeah.
Instead of being out in reality, which I'm like, okay. Cool. And then he tells him all that stuff that you just said in the Max Headroom vibe.
Yeah. So we see that the cop, Lieutenant Hayden, is watching basically surveilling the house. So he watches as Kimberly walks up once again, knocks on the door, calling out, just like screaming for Michael to come out.
Michael!
Yeah.
Where are you?
Fuck, it's annoying.
Edward Furlong!
She's like, I want to talk to you. And he's like, I'm mad at you. And he like, you know, he sticks on his music and he's trying to ignore her.
He's mad at her because of the newspaper article.
Now, meanwhile, old detective, he walks up and basically just lets himself inside Furlong's house, walks over to the fireplace, collects some ash from the fireplace and just turns around and walks out again.
So basically just like...
That would not hold up in court. You did not have a warrant to enter that property. You did not have a warrant to collect that material. That would get shoved out. Anyway, cut to later that night. We're going to have a good old-fashioned manhunt.
You missed the whole bit with like... There's a bit with like... Oh, I miss a bit. Trickster tells him there's a clue in the footprint and then it cuts to Mike kissing Kim in bed.
Oh, yeah. There's like a dream sequence.
Yeah, the dream sequence, which you missed out. Yeah. And I was like, in my notes, I didn't even know they were a couple.
They're not a couple.
Yeah. So, and then Kim turns into the first victim, the victim, and starts to strangle Michael and he wakes up and it was all a dream.
Yeah.
Missed the whole bit out.
Sorry.
And that's when like Kim yells out for coming in and she goes, I didn't. And that's when he says about like my friend Stacy did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Stacy, such a bitch.
And then we cut to the...
The manhunt.
The detective organising the neighbourhood watch manhunt.
Mm-hmm. Which and is it, all a bunch of men.
It's a manhunt. It's a manhunt from men.
Yeah, you can have women in
a manhunt.
And
he's like, he goes, I know you guys, like you might be like, you know, you might be doing like this neighbourhood watch for the police, but if I see any weapons, you know, you're not allowed to have any weapons, like,
yeah,
I know you people have weapons.
If you have them, you will be arrested.
Straight away. So the manhunt is not allowed to shoot people.
Mm. And we also see that the principal is in the crowd.
Yeah, the principal hates.
Like, and he's looking real sinister.
He knows that it's Michael's. He hates children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow, we cut back to Mike and he's starting up the third disc.
So he has 30 minutes on the clock.
It's only 30 now. It goes down each time.
So we don't get a POV this time. We just watch Furlong climbing a fence and he starts covering his tracks in Kyle's garden.
Which I didn't know it was Kyle's garden.
No.
I thought it was the first murder's house because I thought that that's where the evidence was. Like, it was very confusing to me.
Because he jumped Kyle's fence to go murder him, so he left a muddied footprint in the flower garden, out of something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, so he's in the group. He's just, so yeah, he's just Edward Furlong rummaging around in the
moving
dirt.
Moving some dirt around. Inside the house, there is the second cop. He is dusting.
The other detective.
The other detective. He's dusting for prints and he gets a call. It is the trickster. There is an intruder in your yard. And then, of course, he goes to the window and he watches Furlong jump the fence and hobble into the woods.
Which he could have just, but Furlong knew that he heard the phone call. So he ran in the only direction where people could see you. He could have ran sideways and you wouldn't have said, like, no one could look out of a window. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, what are you doing, you idiot?
So in the woods, there is now a crowd of men who have guns and alcohol.
But also the detective gives chase.
Yes. Of course.
Yeah, so the neighborhood watch has just gone to shit instantly. Yeah, they're drinking and they've all got guns.
And they're not just like little, they've got hunting rifles. Yeah. They're hunting. So Furlong takes cover in a local construction site. So obviously they're building up like an estate in the area. Yeah, so there's a lot of like housing going.
Which they haven't like foreshadowed until this point. It's just suddenly
it's there.
They just miss Edward Furlong. Like, he keeps hiding, you know, like.
Yeah, we get a lot of close calls. Luckily a raccoon takes the heat on one of them as well. So he's running from site to site, dodging cop cars, and then he is attacked by the principal, who is trying to radio in to Hayden at the main meeting.
He like grabs him from behind.
Point. Yeah.
So
they start tussling around and, you know, you've got Hayden on the thing being like, press the button. I can't hear you unless you press the button. Detective,
yeah, you need to say, wait, what's going on?
So, you know, he can't say where he is. And then, of course, the tussle ends in a whole stack of bricks being
like a ton of bricks.
He gets hit with a ton of bricks. Yeah. Gets like, knocked onto him.
It's like this scaffolding has like one pole that's holding up a ton of bricks. I'm like the most unsafe way you could do it and just left there overnight.
What's 1994?
He just backs back into it. It's not like, Edward Furlong doesn't throw him into it. So he basically kills himself, this guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, the ton of bricks falls on the principal. Doesn't look very good. There's no gore and it's not cool. The neighborhood watch, they all hear the noise of the thing. They start running. You know, they've got their guns. Mike hides, Edward Furlong hides in some plastic, a tarp.
So he goes down into like a basement area. So he goes down some stairs to maybe a storm cellar or something that's being constructed and he hides under some tarp. And of course, the dog from the woods heads down and starts looking at him.
Fucking dog, mate.
And he's like, oh, what a good dog. He's like, look. I know I said I wouldn't ask you for anything ever again.
He keeps bargaining with this dog and the dog keeps doing it.
Yeah. So I'm okay with that.
Is the dog trickster? I got that.
Maybe. I don't know. I like it.
It's like doing shit, but it's also fucking with him and like moving the story along.
Yeah. That's just dogs for you. They're good. They're evil. Anyway, the cops roll up.
I said, Mike asked the dog to leave and it does.
Yeah. Thanks, dog. It's a good boy. It's a good boy.
All right.
So the main, the secondary cop, the one from
the other detective,
he rolls up.
I see. I thought it was him. And then I'll tell you after the same guy.
Sure. So he rolls up and immediately startles one of the manhunters who turns around and just pops off a shot straight to his chest.
Yeah.
So all these guys start crowding around this now.
So basically the
shot cop. And Furlong takes the opportunity to sneak out of the basement and back into the woods.
Yeah, so
he is immediately.
I'm surprised there isn't more of a like him just saying like, "Who the fuck did this?"
Yeah.
Why aren't he doesn't arrest anyone for the murder of his partner?
No.
He just goes. Yeah, but we'll get back to that. Mike runs off into the woods, and he immediately runs into a security guard, who is not part.
I think he's a cop. I think he's a beat cop.
So he's not part of the
It's not the but the cop blue.
Lets him go because says like, oh, they just shot the killer.
Yeah.
Go home, he's kid.
Like, yeah, he sends him home again.
Or he thinks it's the killer that got shot.
Yep.
And we cut to Kim on the balcony and she sees Mike rock up home and she goes, are you okay? And he just fucking ignores her and beelines inside.
See, he's limping. at this point. He's limping, but he's holding his other leg.
You know what? I just thought he was limping because he got hurt in the tussle.
Yep. No.
I never noticed. I never even thought. I didn't even put two and two together.
So he had a minute and 50 seconds left on the timer, and he has made it. Trickster appears again.
So like every time he's played it, it's been a different way to play it.
Yeah.
First one, you were POV. The second one, you didn't remember. And the third one, it was just...
It's just he's got to be there. Yeah.
Just ran out and then ran. He didn't wake up. You know what I mean? He just comes home.
Yes.
Like...
So the trickster applauds him and he's like, it's not a game. It's just, it's crime. It's just lots of crime.
Yeah.
He's like, and there was a witness.
But the trickster's stoked with him at this point. He's just so good. He's like, it's
you're
awesome. Good.
You're great. This is fantastic. He's like, but there is one more witness.
He doesn't say witness. He says weakness.
Weakness. Okay.
Yeah, there's one more weakness and you know who she is.
He's like, I won't do it. He's like, you got to. Part four.
Yeah,
you
trickster just goes, part four. And that's the end of that scene. Like,
so the next day, a beat car rolls up next to Hayden's car, who is still staking out Furlong's place, and hands him a file folder with forensic information in it. I didn't actually see what was said on the forensics, but it basically comes back with, you know.
It says that the victim's blood was on the ashes you gave us.
Yeah.
Because I paused it and read
it.
Okay,
good.
Yeah, so the victim's blood was on the ashes and an unknown blood source as well.
Yeah, I just figured it would be, you know,
directing him. It's just basically saying.
So Furlong is pretty much held up in his room and the trickster is trying to talk to him.
He's on the TV
he's
now.
He's like, you know, what do you want from me? He's like, you know what has to be done. You need to play part four. And he's like, fuck it. I'm just going to turn myself in. I'll take the heat. No matter. It doesn't matter. So trickster appears in front of him and he tries to stop him. He's like, you wanted the ultimate in terror. Terror is doing, you know, experiencing life, you know, and it's going to be her life or yours. You need to choose.
He goes, her life or yours. Choose. And then trickster bounce out of reality again.
Kimberly knocks on the door. You know, he continues to just
Mike's
sort of
house. I mean, yeah, to Edward's.
Yeah. And he's just sitting upstairs. He's kind of just ignoring her.
She's like yelling.
So later that night, she's having a good old sleep. He dials into brain scan and he walks up to her house and in almost effortlessly walks in, grabs a pair of sewing scissors, skulks through the dark house, up the stairs to her room. Now Hayden from the car, because he's still staking out, he's watching all this happen from outside. Furlong enters her room, walks up to her, the trickster behind him. He's like, what are you waiting for? Kill her. And Furlong's there and he's like, I can't. He's like, go do it. Just cut her up. You know, you got the scissors. Just, you know, do it.
Do it, go on.
And he's like, fucking, who are you? And he's like, well, I'm you. And he starts explaining. And then like Furlong just stabs
him
in the chest.
I'm you, Michael.
I'm you. Stabs him in the chest and we get these CGI innards.
No. Yeah. So
grab Furlong.
Furlong stabs the trickster in the chest.
Yes.
Yeah.
So trickster's blood comes out in this CG mess.
Like
and
the guts grabs Furlong's
grabs
arm.
Grabs his arm. And then they kind of, it's pulling him towards the trickster. It's pulling him into trickster. And they start to sort of meld and assimilate.
To morph. That yes. Old effect is called. They start morphing together and stretching and more. Like, you know, that kind of, where their faces are starting to join. There's no actual there's no prosthetics or anything like that. It's just like CG mess. It's not even a real computer. It's got compositing. It's just like there's no 3D to it.
No.
It's like
no.
They start morphing. So they'll be like on a green screen and they'll just start pushing two images together. Kim wakes up and just sees this shit. So she sees the trickster. So the trickster can be seen by everyone.
Yeah. So she wakes up and she wakes up in time to see the trickster basically swallowing Furlong.
Yeah, his mouth is like stretched open with more of that dodgy like morphing.
Yep, and he falls into that CG wormhole that we see every time
Furlong
he does.
Gets sucked in to thing, and then we see Furlong, falling through the CG wormhole, like on a green.
Yeah,
screen.
No, it's real good.
He's just on the ground, like
I know it's so good. And he wakes up,
but then Mike falls into the vortex, and then they both disappear. Yeah, so Trickster, Trickster then bamps out of reality.
Yeah.
And Kim's like, what the fuck, where the fuck are they? And then Mike pops up. I'm not Mike. Yeah, Edward Furlong pops up, but he's like Trickster Mike, I called him.
He's possessed.
He's
yeah.
possessed. He's got like, you see all these veins coming up into his face.
His eyes are yellow. There was actually meant to be a scene where it was like they were amalgamated together and it was meant to be like really good prosthetics, but I think there was a big failure, probably with budget and timing and whatnot, that they just couldn't do it. Which is such a shame because I feel that it would have really worked.
I feel like all
here.
The cool bits have taken out of this film. Like there's no gore and there should have been gore.
Yeah.
Because that's where you, if it had good gore scenes, that's like what Nightmare on Elm Street, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Like you got this character, like if he's not, what makes him bad is he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He's just like.
Well, he's just there to explain, like, he's just a voice in Michael's head, basically. You have to do this.
Yeah, like, but that's not a very good horror icon. A guy who doesn't do anything.
It could be pretty good, like considering the concept of the film taking on that whole technology is starting to rule people's lives.
Yeah.
You know. So he's there and he's holding these scissors and he's circling the bed and she's looking real uncomfortable and, you know, there's nothing behind his eyes. He's like fully possessed. He's going to kill her. And then she starts declaring her love for him.
I love you.
She's like, I know that you watch me. I watch you too. And then she takes out pictures and starts showing all the pictures that she's taken of him in his bedroom like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, so they've both been like just basically like peeping Tomming each other.
Yep. And of course, you know, he starts to come back to reality. He drops his scissors and he's like, you know, ugh. And then the trickster pops out again.
Trickster pop zaps out of Michael.
He's like, game over.
He goes, I knew you couldn't do it. Yeah. And I'm like, no, you didn't.
He did, because I'm you. And he opens
Furlong's back to normal now.
He's back to normal. Trickster opens the door.
He like backs back. And yeah, because Michael goes, game over. You lose, Trickster. And he goes, maybe, but. And he walks backwards and opens the door and to reveal the detective standing there. And he does the worst acting ever. He just points at Michael and goes, murderer.
Yeah, murderer.
And then lifts up his gun, the detective, and just goes, and just shoots.
Yeah.
And then we get cut to a shot of, like, Kim going, no! At this point, my mum said, this whole thing's not real. It's all the game.
Yeah.
This is a bit my mum, like, yeah. And so it goes, like, suddenly.
Jolts awake.
Edward Furlong wakes up. He's in his bedroom. He's dressed in the clothes from the start of the film. It's just the start of the film, the first time he woke up.
Yep.
And
the voiceover. And
he doesn't have like drool coming out or he's not sweaty. He just wakes up.
Yeah. And we get the, hello, you've just experienced brain scan. State-of-the-art system, reality enhancing. And then it goes off onto
hypnotic,
a bunch of jargon.
Hypnotic, like. Subconscious reality, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, so it's kind of like a cross between The Game and Total Recall.
Yeah, pretty much. So it was all a dream. And he scoffs a little bit and then.
And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? It was all a dream?
Yes.
This movie actually made a film out of, and it was all a dream.
So he pulls the blinds back and he sees that the party is still going on.
So no time has passed either.
He didn't actually kill anyone.
No time has passed at all.
Nah.
Which, I mean, that is a thing that can happen with the brain stuff, but yes. Yeah.
So he's like, he's pretty chuffed at this moment. Like,
yeah, I didn't
understand
if he was upset or chuffed because he then just starts, he takes the CD-ROM out and he trashes it.
Yeah.
And then he trashes his own room.
Yeah,
he was having a breakdown, I thought. Like,
I feel that it's like, oh my God, I've just experienced like the absolute latest in technology and it is a fucking nightmare that I never want to experience again. So he's like, I don't want to use computers anymore kind of thing. And he just like bails. I'm like, you are going to feel really bad tomorrow when you want to sit down and play Minecraft, sir. And you've destroyed everything.
Minecraft?
I don't know.
Roblox,
whatever it is the kids play nowadays. Fortnite.
He trashes his room and we hear... he hears a yell out the window and it's Kyle.
Yay,
Kyle's
Kyle.
Not dead. I'm like,
he's
this is
so happy.
I'm like, this is so fucking bullshit boring. He goes down. He's so stoked that Kyle's alive. And like, Kyle's just like freaking out going, what, dude? And he's like, you know, he hugs Kyle. He goes, I love you, man. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's nice. It's nice. They hug.
They go to the party together. Like next door. I said, dude, we should go to the party. And like, yeah, let's go to the party.
And Kyle actually reveals, like, that he had heard something on the news about the game Brain Scan. Like, that someone in Texas had played brain scan,
and had a meltdown,
had an aneurysm, and, you know, so...
I don't want to play it now.
Yeah, it's fine. So, you know, they go over, Furlong meets up with Stacey.
Furlong's like, hey...
Where's Kimberly? Oh, she's upstairs with blah, blah, and he's like, oh, well, okay.
Kimberly's like, Stacey's the best character in the film. She's wearing one of those nitty... She's like the badass girl.
Yeah.
Like, she's wearing... A knitted fucking one of those.
It's like a doily.
Those kettle cover beanies.
Yeah.
And then she's got like the round, like tinted glasses on and hippie necklaces. And she's just like giving him attitude and goes, Kim's upstairs. And then Kyle's like, hey, Stacey. And he hits on Stacey. And then he's like, you look badass. And she goes, oh, you think I look badass? And like, you know, she suddenly like is interested in Kyle because he notices her all
Heck
of a sudden.
Yeah.
Anyhow. That goes nowhere, that scene. It's like totally unnecessary because could have cut off at the exact point. But then they would realize that they've got like a 40-minute film.
But this is fine. This is fine because, Kyle's a lovely boy. He deserves to find a nice girl. And Stacey's a bitch, but they seem to like, it doesn't matter. He's going to make,
it's funny like how many of the best friends in films go out with the bitch?
Yeah, all of them. But it's fine. They're going to make out later. It'll be great.
Yeah. He's probably just going to finger her and that's it.
Yeah. Well, he is in high school. So, you know. And this is 94. We're not talking 2024 standards. Right,
it's not a head job party. No. I know that was early. That was 2000s. I don't know what they do now.
I
haven't talked to children in years.
I don't want to talk to children. Sorry.
Especially about their sex life.
No. Don't talk to me about your sex life if you are under the age of ever.
Mike goes up into Kim's room and he's all like cocksure because he's like, man, yeah, she loves me. And he's like, hey, do you want to go out? Do you want to go out with me?
Yeah.
Go out with me. And I'm like, that's what I used to say.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you like
and
to
then
go out with
you're
me?
Dropped is how you break
yes.
up. You're dropped.
Oh.
I dropped her. And she's like, no. And then she goes, maybe? And he goes, oh, maybe. And he's like really stoked because it's a maybe.
Yeah, he's like, it is a maybe. So she basically turns on her heel and heads back to the party.
Because she's got a boyfriend, but it's not a boyfriend.
Well, I don't know. It's weird. I think she's trying to play it cool.
Yeah, she turns back before she leaves and gives him a kiss on the lips. And I'm like, that's a bit more than a maybe.
Or it's like in the How I Met Your Mother. It's like, no, I will not go out with you. Closing the door.
I don't know what
you're talking about. And it kind of like, it's giving them false hope that there is the possibility that in the future they may want to go out with you, but it's never going to happen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. I thought they were just going to get together.
Oh, they are because, you know, obviously, she's obviously playing it cool.
Clearly, I don't know how women think.
No, she's not telling him no, no. So, you know.
No. She's saying no means yes. So she goes back to the party. Mike finds the photos that she had taken of him and they're real. So she does like him. How did the trickster know that?
Well, I don't know. But she is a creep in real life too. She's been photographing him in his bedroom
have been wanking.
Probably.
Cut to the next day at school. See, this is what I thought was weird. Cut to the next day at school, but I'd missed a whole line in the film. So one line I missed and it made
That's
this whole
right.
scene. So I didn't know the principal said, I didn't hear him say, because the last thing I heard him say is like, horror club is banned.
Yeah.
I didn't hear him say, but if you do horror club again, you have to show me. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So, like, the film. So, I didn't understand this thing because I just thought horror club was banned. So, you can see what I thought here. Like, Mike comes into the principal's office and goes, I have a game I want to show the horror club.
Yeah.
And then Mike gives him a copy of Brain Scan. And he goes, and then Mike says, well, Edward Furlong says, I think they'll have a lot of fun. And then the trickster appears behind the principal and Mike gives the trickster like a smile and a thumbs up and then credits roll. And I'm like, why did he hate the horror club, I thought.
Yeah.
And then why is he friends with the trickster now? The guy he hated so much.
Well, as we know, his...
But then credits roll.
Yep.
Something else happens. And then there's a voiceover of the credits goes, haven't you forgotten something? And then the credits shatter, and I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
As in, like, they down, and we see the dog running, the shot from the start of the film, and it's the dog running, and it's got the foot in its mouth, and it puts the foot on Mike's front porch, and then it cuts back to the credits. And I'm like, what? So it did happen?
Did it? Is he stuck in a game? Is he having continual? Is it what's happening?
Who knows?
Did he experience the game but didn't experience the game?
So was that supposed to be? Yeah, because I didn't get that. I didn't get like, I need to say that then. So did it happen? I just got from that like, oh, why was that at the start of the film?
Continuous loop.
Oh,
maybe he's
loop.
Playing again and again and again and he doesn't realize. Maybe he's
so
stuck
it
in
is. There. He is still stuck in the game. So it's just moot.
Potentially. But yeah, so I like the idea of the concept of the trickster being his subconscious. The trickster is there to guide him through what his innermost desires
are. See, I never got
are.
The trickster as his subconscious. I just got him as brain scan.
Because he literally says it. He explains it to,
yeah,
to Furlong
but I still didn't
when he's
see-
having his fight with him. So he's basically just battling it out with his own subconscious because Furlong doesn't have the balls to do what he wants to do. But the trickster, of course, he does.
Yeah, I just think the game, I understand that now, but like it didn't read like that. It just read as garbage. It was just like ham-fisted and like it was like it was doing so many metaphors that you didn't know what the ones were that you were supposed to remember or concentrate on.
Sure.
Like, so it was just everywhere. So it was just like, well, it's like the movie knows what metaphors it's supposed to remember and like bits, but it's got a whole bunch of other, like, yep. There's so many red herrings in it, but there's red herring metaphors as well. So I'm just like, I just didn't ever catch what was going on. Mm. I was just like, I did like watching the video gameness of it. And I like the 90s of it. But yeah,
so 90s.
It felt like it was written by a 16-year-old boy.
I feel that, like, with this script, obviously there was, like most scripts that happen, here's the story, but here's actually what got done.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of cuts and shit happening along the way that kind of caused issues. So it could have been something completely different. Like I said earlier, there was a sequence where he actually morphs with the trickster to sort of really show the audience that it's just him. This is like his deep subconscious, like coming out to play. But I mean, look, the film itself, the soundtrack is just, it's like that early 90s grunge metal. So we get like White Zombie in there. We've got Primus on the soundtracks, like all this really cool stuff. Like I would 100% buy this soundtrack if they released it. I mean, they released it in the 90s and I didn't know about
this film.
Didn't
get
it. 90s,
yeah.
But,
what'd you give it? You got the same as me.
Yeah, so I gave this an F. It is a fun and dumb trash pile.
It is exactly that.
It's worth a watch, but
that's what a fun and dumb trash
so
pile.
There's so much missing out of it. Like we barely get any gore. We barely get anything over the top gratuitous violence. We get a couple of really good moments through the trickster, and I really think they could have played that up a little bit more as well. But obviously, knowing that there were some issues with the filmmaking, there's probably was an intention to be better than it was. And it kind of makes me feel like what would have become of Edward Furlong if he'd have not gone down the road that he, like, the path he went down? The drugs, the relationship, the screwing up everything. Because he was really slated to become such a big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Terminator was such a big step for him. And I don't want to say he squandered that because I don't know him. I don't know what he went through. But, yeah, just... I think he could have been different.
He went through a bit.
He
it's just like it was heroin and cocaine, I think, or something like that. So like, no, it was heroin and it was the bad drugs, you know, as in like.
Yeah.
I think it was like it started with a good drug and then went into like a bad drug.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, like I said at the very beginning, you look at him in this film in 1994, and then the next time I remember seeing him was in 1999 when he was in Detroit Rock City, and he looked like he had the heroin bloat then.
The heroin bloat?
Like he looked...
Oh, yeah, he was a potato.
He looked sick. His eye bags were so deep you could swim in them. You know, he did not look like he was having a good time in life.
Yeah. I'm going to choose next time's film. I'm thinking of doing it because I haven't seen it, Reanimator Beyond. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
Is that the second one?
That's the third one.
Yeah, we've never done a whole trilogy of
films. No, we haven't. We haven't finalized
it. But I just haven't seen it and I just want more fucking Herbert West.
I always want more Herbert West.
And I haven't seen it. And he's in it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
All right, let's do that.
Sure.
Reanimator Beyond. I don't even know what when it was made. What year is it? It is. I got it. It's 2003?
Yeah.
That's so much later.
Yeah, big jump.
Oh, big wow. Jump. And now I'm interested.
Yeah, see? It's great. Well, that'll do it for us. Don't forget to grab your tickets to the Bonfire Horror Club screening of An American Werewolf in London. It is happening on Friday the 29th of March, which is this week because the episode comes out on a Tuesday. I actually thought it was on Friday just gone and it fucked me up. Like, I was getting ready for it, but who knows?
Oh, really?
I've been having a week, I tell you. It's not been great. But we just want to take a moment to thank the people that have been listening to us over the last, like, month, everyone who's supporting us, people like the Nether Noose, Palace Nova Cinema and the Bonfire Horror Club, Underground Records, Vicious Video, Galactic Video, Greenlight Comics, Black Match Candles, Robert Thomas, Patrick Roberts, Emma Duran, Ian Westwood, Tsunami Heja, Will, Bryn Phillips, Kate Billinghurst, Chris Franks, Our Mums, and, of course, Dion Cracknell.
And of course.
Of course, Dion.
He gets after the mums.
I love Dion.
Yeah. So you've been listening to Terrorvision Horror Podcast with Dan Jenner. I don't usually say this bit.
You don't usually say this bit. Matter. What the hell are you doing?
I don't know.
We are available on all major podcasting services, so make sure you like and subscribe, leave a comment, share with all your friends, and you can interact with us on Facebook and Instagram at Terrorvision Pod.
And until next time, may all your dreams be nightmares.